Wonderful again. We do so appreciate the worship. I was saying to someone just before, we had been praying for a full car park. I didn't pray for a full church. So be careful what you say. Praise the Lord. Well, you're very welcome today. We're delighted to have you with us, and especially our visitors, Rosie and her mom and Russell and so on. It's great to have you with us. Russell has a little montage which we will show next week of what was happening at the camp, and he's got some things he has to say. So that'll be next week. We've put it on to next week because we will have the video going next week, and then we can get it onto the internet and so forth. Today I want to talk to you about, if you're a note taker, that's great. But the subject today is the right words at the right time. Now, Naomi and I have had no collusion about what I was going to talk on today, and yet here she was leading and Ulu picking the songs, and they're all about words and being careful what you say. Someone has figured out that the average person, okay, now you're all average, the average person knows about 10,000 words, and the average person uses about 5,000 words most days. He has about 5,000 words that he can call on to use and speak and so forth. Now, you're also probably very much aware, and I know this to be a fact, that women do talk more than men. That is proven. Most men tend to be rather quiet. You know, Elizabeth will say something to me. I say, I love you. After 53 years, it doesn't change, it just keeps. She's always looking for somebody to talk to. She said, you're so busy, you're in the Word, or you're in the office, or you're doing something, and I don't have anybody to talk to. You may not know about a lady, her name is Professor Lou Anne Brizendine, and she's from the University of California. This is what she has to say. In her surveys, she's found that the average woman speak, on average, 20,000 words every day. The average man speaks 7,000 words every day. So there you have it. It's a woman in university studies proving that you ladies do talk more than men. Interesting. A lot of the things that, you know, over the years now, as I said, we've been married 53 years in a couple of weeks' time. And the things that people say absolutely amaze me. I've used this illustration before, and I'll use it again today. My mother-in-law was a great woman. We never really got on very well in the early days because she was a leader and I was a leader. When Elizabeth and I were first married, you know, we'd decide, well, we're going to go to the beach or we're going to go somewhere. And we wouldn't be there 10 minutes till her mom would arrive on the same spot. And I thought, she must have a bug in my car or something. There was a member of our family, in Elizabeth's family, and he tended to be I'm trying to be careful how I say this. He caused some difficulties. That's enough said about that. But I can remember mother-in-law many, many times saying to him, you are breaking my heart. When mother-in-law was 74, the doctors thought she had cancer. And Elizabeth and her prayed, and there was no sign of any cancer then after that. But when she died, which was some 15 years later, and they did an autopsy, they found that the wall of her heart broke off. She said time after time after time, you're breaking my heart. You're breaking my heart. You get what you say. You need to be very careful the words that are coming out of your mouth, because what you say today is determining where you're going to go and what you're going to do tomorrow. A man called Joseph Addison said, words, when well chosen, have so great a force in them that a description often gives us more lively ideas than the sight of the things themselves. You know, when you use adjectives and you describe things, you can draw pictures, you know. I can tell you, I have a black station wagon or an SUV. I could tell you a few things about it, and you'd gradually get a picture. I could say, well, look, our car happens to be a Mercedes, so, oh, it's one of those ones with the round thing on the front, or Or I could tell you it's a diesel. You'd say, oh, it's noisy. So words describe what's happening. You could say, well, I've got a dog. Peter and Hazel have a dog. I think it's a dog. It's a little ball of fluff anyway. But, you know, when they describe the dog, it's not a big dog. It's a little dog. See, your words describe things. The words of your mouth have control over your life more than you probably imagine. But, you know, down through the ages, many people have talked about what we say. And I noted this just this week. A man called Publius, the Greek sage, it says, put his finger on the technique we tend to forget when he said this. I have often regretted my speech, but never regretted my silence. Think about that. I've often regretted what I've said, but I've never regretted saying nothing. We need to be careful what we say. King David is said in Psalm 39, verse 1. Listen to this. He said, I will guard my ways that I may not sin with my tongue. I will put a guard on my mouth as with a muzzle. When I was a policeman in Ireland, one of the duties I used to have to take on was I'd go to the dog races. I'm sure none of you know anything about dog racing, but in Ireland they used to race greyhounds. And greyhounds were always raced. They had a muzzle on them. And being a young policeman, and I'd go and I'd see all these dogs, and I said, why do you have to put muzzles on them? He said, well, if you don't, they're likely to bite because they're chasing this artificial rabbit or artificial hare around a circuit, you know, and people are betting money on it. But see, David, he said, I need to put a muzzle on my mouth. Now, over the years, I mean, we've been at this for a long time. The number of people that I would say probably need to put a muzzle on their mouth is more than I can think about. We need to discipline our speech. We need to discipline what we say. We need to be careful what we say. And I want to give you three suggestions this morning. First one is this. Think first. Think before you speak. Before your lips begin to form those words, have a little thought for a few seconds and maybe mentally preview what you're about to say. Just think it. Doesn't take a long, just for a few seconds. See, so many people, they just fly off the handle and they make statements and it doesn't do any good. But what you're going to say, is it kind or is it unkind? Is it necessary or is it needless? Is it wholesome or is it vile? Is it grateful or complaining? Think about what you're going to say. Check actually that your mind is in gear before you start moving your mouth. So think first. Second point, talk less. Don't say so much. See, you increase your chances of losing if you keep on talking. It's almost impossible, you know, to get something back once you say it. I heard it described this way. Words are like eggs dropped from a great height. Once they're on the way down, you can't call them back, and they make a mess wherever they land. If you drop an egg, many times when we've been coming from the supermarket, we'll have a carton of eggs, you know, 12 eggs in a carton. And for several weeks in a row, we ended up dropping the egg carton. Trying to get it from the car to the house, we ended up dropping the egg carton. We got to a place where I put it in a bag and they say, Elizabeth, you carry the eggs. Because, you know, inevitably I'm going to end up dropping these things. So don't be a motor mouth. Don't be someone who just must talk. I have to talk. There has to be a time when you're going to be silent about some things. Now, in the selling profession, and I've been a salesman, I've been in a number of jobs, but one of the things about selling is you need to know when to shut up, otherwise you won't get the order. Because if you keep on talking, you talk the guy out of buying the product, whatever it might be. You know, you just need to shut up and say, sign there. Keep quiet. Don't talk so much. Number three, start today. Put a muzzle on your mouth. Maybe it's a project, you know, that you really should have started long ago. So many times we have these things that we have to say. I must say this, I must say that. It's my right. Listen, you don't have any rights except what God gives you. I wonder if you know Johann Wolfgang von Goethe, who was a brilliant German poet and playwright. He stated with a practical guideline, and I think this is worth remembering, he said, one ought every day at least to hear a little song, read a good poem, see a fine picture, and if it were possible, to speak a few reasonable words. If it were possible to speak a few reasonable words. Now, God's word is full of instruction. I mean, James tells us that it's, you know, your words come from your tongue, and your tongue is like the rudder on the ship or the bit in the horse's mouth and all of that. You can read all through all that. And what you say impacts where you're going and what you're doing. What you say is going to have a great effect on the rest of your life. Solomon, who is well known for his proverbs, I read that Solomon has spoken over 3,000 proverbs and penned over 1,000 songs. And if you read through the book of Proverbs, you'll find verse after verse after verse about what you say and what you allow to come out of your mouth. For example, Proverbs 25:11 says, a word spoken at the right time is like gold apples on a silver tray. A word spoken at the right time is like gold apples on a silver tray. In other words, when we say the right thing, it's a blessing. When we say the wrong thing, it's not. Remember Proverbs 18:21? What's in here? Death and life are in the power of your tongue. Think about that. Death and life. I told you about my mother-in-law. Death and life were in the power of her tongue. She got exactly what she said. And I've got tired of people making these statements and they say, oh, well, you know, I didn't really mean that. But you said it. If you don't mean it, don't say it. Because your words have the power to change for good or for ill. It's either going to be better or worse. And what you say will mean life or death to the person who's hearing it. It's amazing how many times husbands say things to wives, or wives say things to husbands, or we as parents say things to our children. You know, your child does something and you berate it or beat it a little bit and you say, oh, you're stupid, you never amount to anything. And sure enough, the child ends up being on drugs or doing some stupid thing. Why? Because you programmed it for it. You have to give your words over to God. Allow His Holy Spirit to begin to direct you. Isaiah 50 and verse 4 says, we need to be able to speak a word in season to him who is weary. We need to speak a word in season. Your words should be gracious words. They should be complimentary words. How many of you know who Mark Twain is? Mark Twain, an interesting character if you read up a little bit about him, but he made this statement. He said, it takes 2 years to learn to talk and the rest of your life to learn to control your mouth. I'm going to say that again because somebody needs to hear it this morning. It takes 2 years to learn to talk and the rest of your life to learn to control your mouth. We need to be able to control our mouth. David said, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord my God. Psalm 19 tells us. So are your words acceptable to God? Wonder how many of you know anything about Facebook. You see, can I tell you what Facebook is? It's a gossip column. That's all it is. It's a gossip column. Some of our stuff goes up on Facebook. Kim, my daughter-in-law, she takes what we share and she puts them up on Facebook and it goes around the world. It's amazing sometimes when I look at it and I look at the things that people are putting up there. And they're exposing themselves to everybody in the world and talking about, oh, well, you know, tomorrow I'm going to be going to such and such a place. That means that my house is going to be empty and everyone in the world knows that my house is empty so they can now break in. We need to be very, very careful. Jesus said in Matthew 15:18 in the Living Bible, he says, Careless words come from an evil heart. Careless words come from an evil heart. So what's in your heart? What are you putting in your heart today? What are you filling your heart with? And don't think that God just turns a blind eye to these things. Because in Matthew 12, 35, 36, and 37, in the Message Bible, listen to this. This one was a stunner when I read this. I hadn't read this before. Matthew 12, 35, 36, 37, in the Message. It's your heart, not the dictionary, that gives meaning to your words. A good person produces good deeds and words season after season. An evil person is a blight on the orchard. Let me tell you something. Every one of those careless words is going to come back and haunt you. There will be a time of reckoning. Words are powerful. Take them seriously. Words can be your salvation, and words can be your damnation. Words. Where would we be without words? When Naomi was in university, she trained to be a sign language person. And she could communicate with people who are deaf. And she can tell you, and I'm sure she has already, and no doubt will again, tell you some of the stories where she's been working with deaf people. They don't have verbalized, they don't have words, they say it all with sign. I've been with some deaf people. Interesting to see deaf people speak in tongues. I mean, it's there's almost sparks flying out of their fingers. It's an amazing thing to see. Naomi can tell you about at some stage where she had to take, I think it was three people who were deaf and blind to a funeral. If I remember, it was a funeral, yeah. And she told about, she had all these three people in the car. She's driving the car, one sitting beside her, two more in the back. And she, while she's driving, she's got to this blind, deaf person, she's got to sign onto their hand. In other words, she's driving, and this hand is signing onto the other hand of this person. And that person, in turn, is turning around and signing onto the hands of the one in the back. And they're communicating and telling jokes, and they're all laughing. And Naomi's driving. She had to take them to McDonald's after this funeral. And it's like an elephant train, you know, one behind the other. She's leading them all in. Get her to tell you about some of these things. See, the words, when you don't have words, you're lost. People who are deaf and blind, it's very, very difficult. So careless words, we need to wipe out of our vocabulary altogether. We need to remember that words that deteriorate someone else's lives or hurt someone else's lives. You know, I thought about it. Would you trust someone who was continually frivolous? In other words, no matter what you said, they had a funny response, a funny response, a funny response. You wouldn't want to trust them with some of your good things that you want to share, because they just make a joke about it. There's got to be more to life than just joking. Listen to this. In Proverbs 4 and 24, Proverbs 4, 24. Put away from you a deceitful mouth, and perverse lips put far from you. The original translation says, put away from you a not easily managed mouth. Not easily managed. The New Life Translation says, put false speaking away from you. Put bad talk far from you. The Message says, don't talk out of both sides of your mouth. Avoid careless banter, white lies, and gossip. Proverbs 19, verse 1. Better is the poor who walks in his integrity than the one who is perverse in his lips and is a fool. I wonder, in your life and in my life, would we get more respect if we said less? Be less confusion if we didn't say a lot of the things that we say? We need to be very, very careful. You need to think twice, perhaps, before you... How many of you like cowboy movies? You know, they shoot from the hip. Think twice before you say something. Consider your words. Listen to these. Colossians 4, 6. Let your speech always be with grace, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. Listen to it again. Let your speech always be with grace, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. Proverbs 10:19. Too much talk leads to sin. Be sensible and keep your mouth shut. Proverbs 13:3. Those who guard their lips preserve their lives, but those who speak rashly will come to ruin. Proverbs 20:19. A gossip betrays confidence, so avoid anyone who talks too much. Good advice. Proverbs 16:24. Pleasant words are like honeycomb, sometimes sweet to the soul and health to the bones. Now, how often have you said things like, boy, these pains are killing me? Oh, this is so hurtful. Yeah, well, remember my mother-in-law. Her name was Mary. Mary said, you're breaking my heart. And she got exactly what she said. You need to be very careful, even though you may say, but Norm, you know I don't mean that. Listen to me. Spiritual matters don't work on what you mean. Spiritual matters work on what you say. Do I need to say that again? Spiritual matters don't work on what you mean. Spiritual matters work on what you say. So be careful what you say. Jesus said, Mark 11:23, he said, assuredly I say to you, that whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that these things which he says will come to pass, he will have whatsoever he says. See, we have to have the right words at the right time. Now, Jesus didn't say, you will have what you mean. He said, you'll have what you say. Let me give you some more. Psalm 141:3. Living Bible. Help me, Lord, to keep my mouth shut and my lips sealed. Some of these are so good. 2 Corinthians 5:21, it says, he, God, made him, Jesus, to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. See, righteousness has to know how to talk. You are righteous this morning. Romans chapter 6, listen to it, verse 6. But the righteousness of faith speaks in this way. Do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who will descend into the abyss, that is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? It says the word is near you, even in your mouth and in your heart, that is the word of faith which we preach. So what Paul is saying is, don't say all the things that are happening around. Say what the book says. Say what the word says. Verse 9, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. What is salvation? Wholeness, spirit, soul, and body. Listen, confession is made unto wholeness. Confession is made unto healing. Confession is made unto prosperity. Confession is made unto whatever it is you need. Righteousness talks that way. We are the righteousness of God. We have to say what God says. Some of you haven't got this yet. Righteousness doesn't talk rubbish. Righteousness says what God says. We say what God says. Why? Because it's no longer I, Paul says, that lives, but Christ that lives in me. Galatians 2:20, the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Now here a couple more. Job 22:28. This is one of Russell's favorites, I know. Job 22:28. You will also declare a thing, and it will be established unto you, and then the light will shine on your ways. Now listen to this translation of that particular verse, Job 22:28, in the Voice translation. You will pronounce something to be, and he will make it so, and light will break out across all your paths. See, what you say, because you are righteous, is going to happen. You need to be saying what God says, not saying what your body says, not necessarily saying what the doctor says. See, if you can't get healed by faith, go to the doctor, because you'll die in your doubts. But you can get healed if you start saying what God says. I got a couple more quotes. Listen to this. Here's a final quote for you. The human tongue is a beast that few can master. It strains constantly to break out of its cage, and if it's not tamed, it will run wild and cause you grief. Let me read that quote to you again. The human tongue is a beast, interesting, that few can master. It strains constantly to break out of its cage, and if it's not tamed, it will run wild and cause you grief. So how do you tame this beast? You have to give it over to God. You have to say, Lord, no longer what I want, no longer my words, but your words. You have to allow the Holy Spirit to get hold of your tongue. But Norman, you know, the church I go to, they don't believe in speaking in tongues. Okay, well, take them back to the Bible. Let me finish with a little personal. I was already in ministry as a youth pastor, and I went to a minister's conference. This is going way back in the 70s sometime. And the speaker at the conference was a man from New Zealand. His name was Peter Morrow. Peter Morrow was a very skinny guy. When I say skinny, I mean skinny. If he was in Ireland, this is how he would be described. There's more beef on a butcher's apron. You can understand how he was skinny, like a stick. He was preaching, and I was sitting down in the front, and I felt impressed to go out for prayer as a youth pastor. And he looked at me, and he says, pointed at me, "You need the Holy Spirit." I looked at him, and this was my response, "I do?" Question mark. Because I said, "I do," he laid his hands on me, and I went, "Shakabaro sonda makasiti." I got filled with the Spirit. God took control of my tongue. The youth group that we had went, you know, from about 10 or 15, suddenly there's 70 young people in the youth group. And God gave me this ability to communicate some of these things. And all of these young people, many of them in ministry around the world today, you see, you have to give your tongue over to God because He's the only one who can tame it. You can say, "Oh, but I didn't mean that." You can't say that. Whatever's in your heart is going to come out of your mouth. This morning, we have to have the right words at the right time. Because you need to make your words sweet, because one day you may have to eat them. So can you understand what I'm saying this morning? You know, we have to get these words right. Words right in your prayer time. Words right in your communication with each other. You know, when you're talking to your husband or your wife, have the right words. It's so important. Right words are very, very forceful. So let your words be right. Let them be sweet. Let them be according to the Word of God. So Father, this morning, we thank you for this little time in your Word. We thank you for the opportunity we have to share these things. And Father, as we've received them this morning, may we just determine in our hearts that we're going to put these things into practice in our lives. We're going to be people who will speak your Word because we are your righteousness and we need to speak what you say. So, Father, we give that over to you this morning in the name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Thank you, Russell. You want to come and finish for us this morning?